Welcome to the audio issue of Notables from Clarity Capital Management. This is Eric Thomas. Today, Ryan and I will provide an update to how the markets closed 2022 and also provide a brief update on the new legislation passed this holiday season called the SECURE Act 2.0. We continue to attempt to bring you valuable insights to share in what's happening in today's financial markets. We love hearing feedback, so keep that coming. Today's recording is based on feedback we've received from all of you. Here's our discussion on our most recent Notables issue. The recording was made on Friday, January 6th, 2023. Hi, Ryan. How are you?
I'm good. Happy Friday. How are you?
Happy Friday. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
How was your holiday?
It was good. It was enjoyable. It seemed really fast, but I think it does every year. You know, it kind of comes and goes really quickly. But it was a great time. How about you?
It was great. Really good time. We stuck around. We were here in the snowy ice and we had a great time. for those that don't know, my beautiful wife and I are expecting. So we're kind of cherishing this holiday as our last one that isn't going to be crazy with kids and yelling. So that was an interesting kind of thing to think about.
Yeah, you've got a busy few months coming up.
Yes, sir. Yep. So doing March, for those who don't know, we're very excited.
And you're feeling completely prepared and ready to go, right?
Oh, yeah. With our first, absolutely. Well, it's been a while since we've done one of these. But, you know, with so much going on, we thought that we'd kind of pop on and kind of give our general comments about everything happening in the economy. What we thought we'd do today is talk briefly what's going on in the markets. We can kind of go through just what we think is happening in our general economy. A lot of guesswork there. And then kind of summarize what happened, you know, as of the end of last year. So we have year-end numbers. And then the other thing that happened over the kind of holiday break is one of the biggest pieces of legislation in our industry got passed for a while. So the SECURE Act 2.0. So a whole bunch of little nitty gritty things have changed, which we'll kind of briefly review. There's a lot there. So we'll try to touch on some of the things that we find interesting and most important for the folks listening. And at the very end, you know what's going to happen. I'm going to give a fun fact.
I can't wait.
I don't think this week's fun fact is very fun. It's more interesting than I thought our listeners would like. So if you're curious about that, just skip to the end.
No. Okay. No. You can't do that. Listen right. The whole time and then listen to the end.
Okay. Well, with that, so what I'll do is I'll give a quick economic kind of update and how we're looking at things. And then Ryan will go into the great year that was 2022. Hopefully you can sense some sarcasm there. So, you know, in general, we're at a pretty interesting time and a pretty interesting start to the new year. We still see the Federal Reserve being on a interest rate hiking cycle. So we see them continuing to increase interest rates. We see them potentially slowing that hiking situation. So they, you know, there's been a lot of data over the last month or two that has begun to show that inflation may be kind of coming down. So there's good evidence out there that we might be hitting what a lot of people refer to as peak inflation. So hopefully that's true. I think that there's still a lot of uncertainty there. We still see the economy doing really interesting things. So there's a lot of talk about the R word, the word recession. So, you know, whether or not we're actually going to enter recession in the next couple of years is something that there's a lot of economists are still thinking about. You know, more recently we've been hearing that most economists think that we're going to be entering some sort of recession over the next year. You know, I was reading a article yesterday that was talking about somewhere around 60% of economists at big firms think that we're going to enter some sort of recession over the next year. But, you know, in general, I think that there's a lot of uncertainty there. I think the best answer for in my opinion is we don't know. Ryan, any thoughts on the big R word?
Yeah, it's difficult to say, right? Sometimes things are projected, or when that might occur, how deep of a recession might it be, how long might it last? Those are all difficult to say. And recessions are backwards looking. We really don't know we entered one until we've entered one and seen it. So it's sometimes tough to predict, and certainly tough to predict the severity or what parts of the economy get hurt more than others. So, is it something to watch and pay attention to? Sure. Will it happen? I don't know.
I think what's more important to think about is just how, in general, how we're thinking about, assets and managing investments is that we're really focused on the long term and still considering staying globally diversified and, thinking about the long term. So, Ryan, any other thoughts there?
Yeah, I think it's just remembering this is part of a normal economic cycle we go through. We go through periods of growth, we go through recessions. They come and go. It's always been that way. Continue to be that way in the future. It's a part of a financial planning world is preparing for those periods, whether or not you're directly impacted through a job loss or in other ways that you might be impacted, is just preparing for those times because we know they'll come. We just don't know when or how bad or how often they'll come, but knowing that they will occur, it's normal.
Totally normal. Yep. So last year ended the year, we saw equity markets come down quite a bit. I think there's quite a bit of opportunity still just with how things have repriced. Ryan, do you want to share a little bit about how everything happened, how we ended last year? Kind of give us some general numbers there.
Yeah, it was a tough year all around, really, for almost all asset classes. Stocks, if we think about US equities by the S&P 500, the S&P was down a little more than 19% on the year last year. If we were to break that out a bit further by asset classes within stocks, so like the S&P is just one index of kind of largest companies in the US. There's asset classes well beyond that. So maybe we're talking about small cap equities, so small companies or international companies. So returns were a little bit more scattered, depending upon asset class there. But generally, it was a pretty negative year for all asset classes. Bonds had also a very rough year. Generally speaking, when we have interest rates rising, those tend to be negative for fixed income assets. And we certainly saw that. We had rates rise at the fastest rate we've seen in a long, long time. And I think far faster than most people ever expected. Trying to remember how far the Fed hiked short-term rates last year. It happened so much. Do you remember, Eric, offhand? I mean, was it 4%? Four and a
I yeah,
half?
four 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 and a half percent. So we're expecting we went from the range of 0 to 0.25% at the beginning of the year, and we're at the range of 4 to 4.25, I believe now. I think in this hiking cycle, the general market's thinking somewhere in north of 4.5 to close to 5%.
Yeah. So really, really quick rise in rates. I think the fastest since the period of high inflation in the 70s. But in any case, it definitely does hurt fixed income, the US bond aggregate index. So think of the index that captures kind of the broader bond market was down 13% last year. And that's a really tough year for bonds. So all around a pretty negative year. Looking across the equity spectrum, we did see parts of the equity market fare a lot better than others. So if we look at like value stocks that are traditionally considered value companies, fared much better than their growth counterparts. So parts of tech had a much, much rougher year. Growth index down about 30% versus value down about 7.5%. So a big difference in returns there. but nonetheless a pretty negative year.
Yeah, thanks. That's perfect. So the other thing that's coming, a couple of things I wanted to follow up there on. First of all, you talked about how negative things were for fixed income market last year. Can you talk a little bit about the kind of some of the opportunities? So, although the price of the fixed income assets that we see have come down, what does that do to the rate of kind of the current investments?
Yeah, for bonds, it's actually, well, really for a lot of assets, but for bonds, it's actually quite favorable looking ahead. Think of bond prices and bond interest rates as a teeter-totter effect. And as bond prices go down, interest rates go up, and then vice versa. So you could think of that in terms of that coupon or fixed rate that bonds pay is now going up because bond prices have fallen. And it's also an effect of the rising rate environment that we're in as well. So we are now seeing rates on bonds being more attractive than they've been in over a decade, well over that. You have corporate bonds paying in excess of 5% now. Even treasuries looking quite attractive. So, from a forward-looking return standpoint for the fixed income environment, it's very, very positive. It was well overdue going from the near zero rates that we saw coming out of the pandemic to where we're at now. So, really a positive thing there.
Yeah, thanks. That's perfect. Yeah, it's been unbelievable to see that we can actually get some returns now in the bond market. So although we saw the actual prices of the bond world decrease last year, we see the returns that the annual returns that they're able to offer now skyrocket. So we're seeing seeing a really favorable rates there. So it's interesting to think about the fact that yeah, we had a tough year last year as far as the actual price of the position. But now, as that money gets reinvested, we'll now be seeing a lot more favorable yield on that investment.
Absolutely. Same with new bonds that are issued at higher rates. Those are getting issued now at higher interest rates, which are all positives as well. Yeah.
Yep, spot on. Yeah, it's really interesting to see. Yeah, and you kind of alluded to this, but it sounds like it's similar in the equity markets too, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, we have prices come down. We've seen that, right? I said the S&P was down around 19% last year. So price is down. When you'll see in the written notables, we reference price to earnings ratios, PE ratios. That's now at a much more reasonable level going forward. There's kind of two ways that we can look at that: current price to earnings ratio and forward price to earnings ratio. When we talk about PE ratios, we're talking about the components of the P and the E are price and earnings. So essentially you're computing that by dividing the price of the stock by the company's earnings per share. So if we have a reduction in the P, then that ratio looks much, much better. And Eric, I think you have the stats on that as far as how that stacks up historically, right?
Yeah, I mean, now, so we know that equity or stock market has increased in value quite a bit. What that also was occurring was that the earnings that justify that high inflated price was not keeping in line with that kind of high price. So what that means is that we had a really high price to earnings ratio at the end of or beginning of last year. And now we've had that price to earnings ratio come back in line with what it historically is. So what that means is that we're buying when we invest money now in stocks, we're buying the companies at a level where it probably is more accurately priced, where there's actually a better justification for the amount of money that you're paying for that company based on that company's actual earnings. And we all remember that. A stock's price is reflective of the future earnings expectations for that company. So that's exactly what we're talking about here. So we know that the price to earnings ratio is a pretty good measure on how fairly we think that that company is priced.
Right. So a lot of what we've seen this year of, well, we had a lot of expensive tech companies out there in particular, where that PE, that price to earnings was completely outrageous. And they got really blown up after the, or during, and then after the pandemic. There really wasn't earnings there to support those prices that got bid up so much over time. And now looking forward, you have a rising rate environment, you have higher inflation. All of a sudden, the E part of P&E is being eroded, and prices have to come down. They've gotten far too expensive on these companies. So that's why you're seeing parts of the market react and sell off much more than other parts of the market. And trying to get that price to earnings ratio back in line with a more historical, reasonable rate, which we've seen. We're now in more in line with what the 25-year average is for the S&P 500's price to earnings ratio looking forward. That's a good
Okay, so we got in the weeds there quickly. I apologize about
thing.
that. But I promised in the written article that I would explain price to earnings ratio. So there you go. I think in general, as we think about moving forward here, especially with seeing returns come up. So when I say that, I mean returns in the fixed income and our bank accounts. So we see finally we're seeing a little bit of interest in our bank accounts. Hopefully we're all invested in high interest savings accounts, but we're seeing yields come up there. We're seeing 3-4% now in high interest savings accounts just to let our cash sit there in the bank. And I think it'd be very natural to say, hey, yeah, I can get 3% at Capital One or whatever, or Marcus or one of those other banks. Let's just move all my money into that. I don't really want to battle this volatility that we might see over the next couple months. The thing that we think about is over the long term, especially with inflation, 6, 7, 8, 9%, we're still not keeping up with inflation with that bank account. And we know that over time, we will not keep up with inflation by holding cash. So we know that the only way to keep up with inflation is to have the money invested. So something to think about. These times are always challenging. I think it's going to continue to be challenging over the next couple of years with our economy going through some interesting things. But we have to keep the long term in focus, and that's how we battle inflation and hopefully meet some of our longer term goals.
That's right. Well said.
Okay, well, Ryan didn't have anything to add there. I thought he would.
Stay invested. Part of the volatility is normal. That's it. That's it. It's simple as that. As hard as it is, it's as simple as that.
That's right. That's right. Well, we don't have to beat a dead horse there. Also, just definitely don't bury it in your backyard. We don't want to see that. We do want to see some FDIC insurance if you do choose to go to cash.
Yeah,
Okay.
you might forget
That's
where you bury it,
right. That's
right?
right. Well, yeah, and if anybody has any questions on how we're thinking about all that, feel free to let us know. Let's go on to, unless Ryan, you have anything else to add, let's go on to the Secure Act.
Oh, let's do this. This is a fun one.
Okay, cool. So, as part of our 1.7, it's actually 1.65, Ryan corrected me. It's not 1.7 trillion. So that's a difference of about, what is it, $50 billion. So
Yeah,
it
no
is
big
a,
deal.
I guess that is a big number. $1.7 trillion budget bill last year. The Congress kind of slipped in this big piece of legislation that our industry has been thinking about for a while. There's a ton here. I don't think we have to go through everything. Maybe I'll pick some of my favorites, and then Ryan, you can take a couple out of it. In the written article, you can click on the full text, which I definitely recommend reading the 400 pages. But there's also another link for a summary of the whole thing. So click that link. Yeah, so kind of some of the big things that I pulled out of there in general, required minimum distributions, we're going to see those increase over the next couple of years. So there's kind of a weird rollout of that RMD change, but in general, age 75, unless you're nearing that RMD age right now.
Currently age 72.
Yeah, thanks. Going from 72 to 75. If you're born in what is it, Ryan? It's like the 1950 to 1960 range. It's going to be somewhere in between 72 and 75.
Right, there was that range in there. Yep.
A little bit of phase out. Also interesting, RMD penalties are going down big time. So if you don't take your RMDs when you're supposed to, there's a 50% IRS penalty right now. That's going to move to 10% if you get it corrected in a timely manner. Or 25% if you don't get it corrected in a quote unquote timely manner. No more RMDs on plans. So if you have Roth 401k or Roth 403b, you did have to take RMDs on that amount. That's going to go away, which is great. That's great news for folks. And then one of my favorite things, we're going to see the ability to contribute to Roth accounts on both SEP IRAs and simple IRAs.
Right, something that's never existed before.
Yeah, prior to that, we were just able to make an employer or employee contribution pre-tax. So we're excited about that. That's a great thing. I found this interesting, Ryan. I don't know if you have any comments on this. We're making a lot of little tweaks, and Congress is always worried about effects to the general budget, right? So they want changes to be looking good on the budget. So, in this plan, we see a lot of changes that include Roth. So for the budget, we know that the Roth is good today because we're paying those taxes today and then not paying them in retirement, but the IRS gets to collect some revenue today rather than when we actually hit retirement.
Right.
Another thing that has a lot of talk is this is a great one too. A lot of folks are really concerned about putting money into a 529 plan because if their kids or whoever the beneficiary is doesn't end up going to college, there's a concern that there's a lack of flexibility for those plan contributions. Well, this new piece of legislation has hopefully corrected that, and we're then able to actually convert 529 plan assets after a long period of time into a Roth IRA. So that's kind of cool. So we collect a bunch of money for our kid for college. Kid gets a full ride to MIT. And we don't end up having to use those 529 plan assets on college. We can either change the beneficiary to another kid, or we can start converting those 529 plan assets to a Roth IRA for the kid's benefit. So it's kind of a cool thing.
Yeah, and that one's interesting. There's limits on how much can be converted over the lifetime, and a lot of asterisks on that one. I think there's, yeah, a lot to be careful with on this one.
Totally.
Yeah.
Ryan is smiling big here because I went through it really quickly. Yeah, all of this stuff has a lot of asterisks, especially that one.
Yeah,
So, yeah, thanks for that.
I think it's one that is going to be looked at by a lot of people and one to be exceptionally careful with. So. Yeah.
I do think, though, that we're always trying to talk about how being flexible in long-term planning is really important, and that we're also big proponents of 529 plans up to a certain point. So it's just another plus one for the use of a 529 plan, which I like.
Yep, for sure.
Well, let me think. Those are some of my faves. What about you, Ryan?
Well, IRA catch-up contributions, they're being indexed to inflation now, which is cool. We've gone through years where contribution limits stay the same, right? They haven't changed for many years, and then maybe we hit a year and the IRS bumps it up by $500, and then we go another number of years. And so for them to actually index it now to inflation is pretty cool. It probably does mean weird annual contribution limits, I would imagine. Maybe not rounded, but we'll see about that. I think
100,
that's
so they
great.
rounded to 100, which is good.
There we go. Changes to qualified charitable distributions, QCDs for folks over 70 and a half from IRAs. They're bumping those up, so that's a positive as well. And then, there's other provisions in there that make accessing retirement dollars a little bit easier to avoid some penalties, under the right provisions. So, there's some positives there. These are some of the highlights. Again, there was a ton of information and changes in this bill. A lot of stuff. We're certainly not going to go through all of those ones there.
No.
But those are some of the highlights, I would say. And a lot of complexities too. A lot of this was very complicated in the changes they made, which I guess coming from Congress is maybe no surprise, but the reality of the situation.
Yeah, the only other quick things I found interesting. Yeah, I agree with Ryan. Everything that we just said have asterisks, and what I'm about to say has more asterisks. So, one, two of the last things that I thought were interesting. They created the ability for employers to use their retirement plans to create a new quote unquote emergency savings plan, which I thought was kind of cool. So the majority of Americans, if they had to come up with $500, it would be challenging for them to do so. So now they're allowing a portion of the employer contribution from their plans to be contributed into a small emergency savings plan. I think it's $2,500, so it's not a ton of money, but it's kind of a cool idea.
Yeah, small amount, but yeah, a cool idea.
And then the only other one I was thinking about is that excess contributions for if we put money into an IRA and we then figure out that we weren't allowed to, there's no more penalty on that as long as it's corrected in a timely manner. So I think that's kind of cool. Still have to pay taxes on any earnings, but we don't have to pay a penalty on that, which is kind of cool because we're trying to do the best thing and correct it on a timely manner. Okay, so I don't know, Ryan, anything else on the Secure Act? We could spend about 6 hours on this.
Yeah, there's a lot there. It's stuff that we're still digesting, and there's some items in there that I think either Congress or the IRS still has to clarify on, that we're waiting on. So I, you know, a lot of this stuff isn't completely said and done. So things we're still learning and understanding.
Yeah, well said. Yeah, if you have any questions about any of this stuff, let us know. But like Ryan said, it's still being digested. Like the ability to create Roth contributions and SEP and simple IRAs, that's very exciting for us. We can't even we actually have the ability to do it as of the new year, as of the piece of legislation being passed, but no one can actually do it yet because the custodians haven't figured out the paperwork yet. So it's all in the works. But with that, so a couple other quick things to summarize. In general, I think that there's a lot of kind of question marks out there of how we're all feeling. We've never entered a recession if we're going to go back to the R word. We never entered a recession being so well prepared. The economy in general looks relatively strong. Unemployment is at a historical low. Americans have more cash in their bank accounts than they typically have when entering a more turbulent period. And we're going to see some interesting things happen over the next couple of months, but in general the economy looks strong, especially as we compare ourselves around the world. Even with some of the political instability that we've had over the last couple of years, we're still seeing us as a leader in the world, which is really comforting, especially as we think about how others in the world are faring. So I don't know, I'll end with that. Other than my fun fact, Ryan, any other thoughts on the economy?
No, I think it's well said. We just have to be prepared for, I think from a market perspective, I think we just have to be prepared for more volatility like we've seen last year, in that but that's normal. It's just sometimes uncomfortable, and I think it's just setting that expectation that it might not be a completely smooth ride in the near term, and just being prepared for that. But I'm ready to
Jobs
hear this fun fact.
number is like 3.5% now. It's wild. Like the unemployment rate is at 3.5%. The historical average last 50 years is 6.2%. So the historical average is 6.2%. We're at under 3.5%. That's a pretty good slowdown, right? Like we're doing really well, and there's a lot of people who have jobs now that typically in this type of period they wouldn't. So
That's
anyway,
right.
just interesting thought.
That's
All
right.
right, fun fact. I'm calling this the potential end to the non-compete clause. So when sometimes when you work for companies, and you are working on with the company with information that the company doesn't want others to share or want employees to share, there's what's called a non-compete clause. I bumped into them in my career. I know a lot of people, other people have bumped into non-compete clause. And what's interesting is it's one of these things that employers really enjoy because they get to kind of retain employees more than they would otherwise. But so the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, has voted 3-1 to get rid of non-compete clauses. So I don't know. I heard that on the news the other day. I thought that was interesting. And I think it would be kind of an interesting thing for employees.
That
So.
is interesting. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely prevalent in our industry. Some of the larger firms have that. So, yeah, that'll be interesting.
The FTC estimated that the proposed rule would raise wages by about $300 billion a year and impact about 30 million Americans. There's your fun fact.
Interesting.
So the end of the non-compete clause potentially.
Interesting. So is that an inflationary thing?
When I read that, that was the first thing that went to my nerdy mind. You better believe it. All right, well, we're here. Happy New Year to everybody. Hope everybody had a good holiday. And we're here with any questions, and we love your support. So thanks for supporting us.
Yeah, have a wonderful weekend.
Clarity Capital Management LLC is a registered investment advisor in the state of Oregon. The views expressed in this recording are that of the participants on the date of the recording and do not necessarily reflect the views of Clarity Capital Management itself. Nothing contained in this recording should constitute investment, tax, legal, or other advice and should not be viewed as a current or past recommendation or solicitation of an offer to buy or sell any securities or to adopt any investment strategy. Advisory services are only offered to clients where our firm and representatives are properly licensed or exempt from licensure. No advice may be rendered by our firm unless a client service agreement is in place. Information in this recording is based on current market conditions, which will fluctuate and may be superseded by subsequent market events or for other reasons. Clarity Capital Management does not assume any duty to update forward-looking statements. The information in this recording has been developed internally and with sources deemed to be reliable and makes no representation or warranty expressed or implied is made or given by or on behalf of Clarity Capital Management as to the accuracy, fairness, or completeness in the information contained in this recording. Any liability as a result of this recording, including direct, indirect, special, or consequential loss damage, is expressly disclaimed. Copyright Clarity Capital Management LLC, all rights reserved.